ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 19. Swarochiso Tritiyas Tu Manur Agne Suto Abhavat Jumat Sushena Rochishmat Pramukhas Tasya Chatmajaha Swarochisho Dutiyastu Manur Agne Suto Bhavat Jumat Sushena Rochishmat Pramukhas Tasya Chatmajaha Swarochisho Dutiyastu Manur Agne Suto Bhavat Jumat Sushena Rochishmat Pramukhas Tasya Chatmajaha. Swarochisa Dutiyastu Manur Agne Suto Bhavat Pramukhastasyatmajaha Kantutiyastu Ladies. Swarochishaha. Swarochisha Dutiyaha, the second. Tu, indeed. Manuhu, Manu. Agnehe, of Agni. Sutaha, the sun. Abhavat, became. Dhyumat. Sushena. Rochishmat. Pramukaha, beginning with them. Tasya, of him. Swarochisha. Cha, also. Atmajaha, sons. The son of Agni named Swarochisha became the second Manu. His several sons were headed by Dyumat, Sushena, and Rochishmat. Purport. Manvantaram Manur Deva Manuputra Sureshadaha Rishi Om Savatarascha Hare Shad Vidhamuchate. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manu, the Manuputra, the sons of Manu, the king of the heavenly planets, and the seven great sages are all partial incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Manu himself, his sons Priyavrat and Uttanapada, the demigods created by Daksha, and the rishis like Marichi, were all partial incarnations of the Lord during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu. During that time, the incarnation of the Lord as Yajna took charge of ruling the heavenly planets. The next Manu was Swarochisha. The Manus and the sages and demigods are further described in the following 11 verses. Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Chatapadakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrasatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Korona Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tata Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchako Pitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What time does the class go till? 9. Swarochisho dhritiyastu manur agne suto bhavat Dyumat sushena rochishmat pramukhas tasyachat najaha. Sukadeva Goswami is progressively describing the reigns of the different Manus. And for each Manvantara, the same information is given. Manvantaram Manur Deva Manuputra Sureshwaraha Rishayo Amsa Avatarascha Hare Shad Vidham Uchite. In the Manvantara, there are 6 elements. It's like a political administration. When the Prime Minister comes in, then his cabinet comes in, maybe someone is appointed as the head of the army, and so on. Different officials. And when he moves out, then they all go out also. They leave office. The next prime minister comes in, his cabinet, his officials. And this way it goes on. So during the day of Lord Brahma, there are 14 such manvantaras. So you can calculate 4,300,000 times 1,000 of our years is one day of Brahma. So divided by 14 is a big number. So during that administration of Manu, there are six elements. Manvantaram, Manur. First is Manu himself. Then Deva, the principal demigods. The demigods also are rotating. It's not that there's a permanent Indra, a permanent Varuna, a permanent this demigod, Brahma. All the demigods rotate. Of course, for the duration of the universe, Brahma has his post. But the lesser demigods like Indra, Varuna, Chandra, and so on, rotate. They shift. So, during the reign of Manu, there are principal demigods, Deva, and Manuputra, his sons, and Sureshwara. Sureshwara means Lord Indra, the controller of the other demigods. Manvantaram, Manurdeva, Manuputra, Sureshwara, and Rishaya. There are seven principal sages. They also rotate. They're not permanently fixed. And Amsavataras, in each Manvantara, there's an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manvantara Avatar. Yes. And we'll find out, as these narrations continue, who these people were. Who was the Manu? Who were the principal demigods during his reign? Who were his sons? Who took the post of Indra? Who were the great rishis? And who was the incarnation? In what form did Krishna appear as a partial incarnation during that Manvantara? These subjects will be iterated, repeated. In this Manu, this Manvantara, this is who they were. In this Manvantara, this is who they were. In this way, Sukadeva Goswami is describing all 14 of the Manus, the ones who've already gone by, and the future ones also. Because he's Sri Kalagya, he knows past, present, and future. So he describes all 14 of the Manus. It's significant that the way that the universe is arranged, no post is permanent. No post is permanent. Indra's post, even Brahma's post, is not permanent. So these administrations come and go. And it appears to us that this Manvantara is ruled by, not appears to us, it's a fact that the rulers last for a long time. Although that's again, yes, it appears that way to us. For Brahma, 14 of them come and go every day. It's as if, you know, we had Like sometimes we have someone on duty at the desk and he's there for 2 hours and another one comes 2 hours, another one 2 hours, 3 hours. So in this way they're rotating different shifts. So for Brahma, it's like that. This one's gone, that one's gone, this one's gone, another 2 hours, this one's gone. But to us, it's fabulously long period of time. So in this way, time is relatively perceived. But whether we see it from our point of view or from Brahma's point of view, finally, it's finished. They take their post for some time, and then they're moved off the scene. Just as with the political leaders of the political states of this world. They take the post for some time, and then they're shifted out. In America, maximum 8 years. Then you're out. You have to retire. Then someone else comes on the scene, some other rascal, then another rascal, another rascal. So, but the nature of our conditioned existence is that if one gets a post, he wants to hold on to it. If the, just like in America, they're elected for 4 years, the president. So if he's elected for 4 years, then he tries for re-election so he can stay another 4 years. And other posts are not so limited. You can stay for 10 years, 20 years. Senator, they can stay, like MP. I don't know if there's any restriction. They can stay on and on and on. Or chief minister can stay on and on and on and on. And they do. Until they're practically dead. They don't want to leave their posts. Because having the post means power. Having the post means recognition, fame. Having the post means you get to do so many things that you want to do. So he doesn't want to give up at having the post means money on the table and under the table. So wealth, power, fame, women, if you want them, they also are included unofficially in the package. So all of these things are there. And one doesn't want to give them up. He wants to hold on to them. Even in a... Even in other organizations, they may be material organizations, they may be spiritual organizations, one gets a post, he's very reluctant to give it up. Either he's thinking that this, security, or he's thinking, if I don't do this, some other rascal will do it, he'll ruin everything. They don't know what they're doing. I've been here for 20 years. I know all the ins and outs. I'll get it right. And they'll mess everything up. So I have to stay. So this is called attachment. This is called attachment. But the way the world works, everything's under the influence of time. Everything is under the influence of time. And time means, what is that? Avyakta adini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata. Avyakta nidananyeva. Tachaka paridevana. Where manifest, then unmanifest. What to speak of a political post, I get this body. I stay for some time, then I leave, and no one knows where I am. Then I get another body, then I leave, and no one knows where I am. Then I get another body, I appear for some time, and then I leave, and no one knows where I am. So everything works like that. the empires come up and then they go. Big business companies, they come up and then they go. They may last even for generations, but then finally they go. So this is the nature of the material world. Adyantavantakonteya, everything has a beginning and an end. Nateshu ramate bhuta. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in these temporary arrangements. He knows, he seeks out his real business of being engaged in the service of Krishna. The najayate mriyate va, the living entity has no beginning, no end. And therefore his engagement is meant to be the eternal engagement of devotional service. I'll stop here and see what questions you might have, if any. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you know the heart of Prabhupada so well. So, as you mentioned, Maharaj, that, you know, we have so many attachments in this world. So, Maharaj, as grihasthas, what does Prabhupada expect from us? What is his expectation from grihasthas? And how does he want us to lead our life till we leave this body? Now, although Prabhupada has given everything in his books, Maharaj, but it will be a great blessing to hear from you about what his expectation is from us and how should we lead our life.
What is Prabhupada's... I'm supposed to know the heart of Prabhupada well. I can't claim that I do. But the question is, what did Srila Prabhupada expect of the grihasthas?
And how does he want us to lead our life?
How does he want the grihasthas to lead their life? First thing is, it's not a question of grihastha or brahmacharya, sannyasi, vanaprastha. Prabhupada expected everyone to engage in devotional service. For those who are initiated, 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, minimum 16 rounds. That's for everyone. Doesn't matter, grihastha or not a grihastha. Similarly, four regulative principles. No gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex. For Prabhupada, no illicit sex meant no sex except for having children for that purpose. That was Prabhupada's direction. Then, so that's for everybody. First thing is, manmana bhavamad bhakta mad yaji mam namaskuru. Everyone should be dedicated to the service of Krishna. It doesn't matter what his outward social station is. He may be brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, but he should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Then Prabhupada expected that, and similarly, these principles to rise early in the morning, to engage in early morning devotional activities, to hear something, read something, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to associate with other devotees. All of the whole program of devotional service is meant for everyone. For the grihasthas, the worship of the deity is particularly... Prabhupada particularly emphasized, whether at home or in the temple. If one lives near the temple, one can be engaged in the service of the deity in the temple. Otherwise, at home, everyone, the grihasthas, should be engaged in the service of the deity, because that instills the understanding that Krishna is the proprietor. He's the owner of the house. He's the enjoyer of the food. He's the enjoyer, the owner of the capital. Everything belongs to Krishna.
Okay.
Is that mine or someone else's? It's not mine. So someone's alarm is ringing. If you knew how to set your alarm, you should also know how to turn it off. So, in that way, and all the people in the house are servants. The house is the servant, is the property of the Lord, and all the people in the house are servants of the Lord. Otherwise, for the Grihamedhis, I'm the owner of the house, I'm the center of the service, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. This is called Maya. So that tendency is very strong to think I'm the enjoyer, I'm the owner. So therefore the deity worship, Prabhupada emphasized, so that one will see that Krishna is the owner and enjoyer of everything. Then another principle that Prabhupada speaks about in practically every book is that the grihasthas should give their money for the service of the Lord. And the figure that he consistently gives is 50%. They should give half of their income for the service of the Lord, and they should live on the other half. Every grihastha thinks that I need at least 95% of my income, otherwise I can't make ends meet. Whether he's a rich man or a poor man, if he's a rich man, his expenses are a rich man's expenses. If he's a poor man, there are poor man's expenses. And so the expenses expand to meet his level, and then there's nothing left over. Little bit. But Prabhupada gave that direction, that he should spend 50% of his money for the service of Krishna. That's a very powerful disincentive to material enjoyment. Now you have to work so hard, and I don't get to keep the money. Why do I work? Every grihastha means working. Why am I working? To get money. And then with the money, I'll have a nice this, I'll have a nice that, I'll enjoy. But Prabhupada's direction was, give Krishna half your money. Then what kind of enjoyment will there be? Quite less, materially. So someone thinks that's terrible, but Prabhupada thought that means reducing the fever of material life. Reducing the fever of material life. What is that? Jivasya tattva jigyasa narta yascheya karmavi. That one should keep enough to keep body and soul together. Prabhupada wasn't impractical. Someone said that, how can I give so much money? I practically don't get it. Prabhupada said, give what you can. But his standard that he set was 50%. And he cited the example of Rupa Goswami, who divided up his money that way. Then one thinks that I'm the servant of Krishna because I'm giving everything to him. Just like the viceroy knows, I'm the servant of the queen because I have to hand over whatever they give me, I have to hand over to the queen. So, of course, he gets to keep something for his operating establishment, but basically he's the queen's servant and everything is hers. So we're Krishna's servants. Jivar Sharupoi Krishnair Nitya Das. Doesn't matter, Grahastha, Brahmachari. So that was another point. And another point that Prabhupada made was that the grihastha should also retire from grihastha life. For the materialists, or those who are not followers, of the Varnashram system, grihastha life is your whole life. You're a bachelor, and then you're married, and then you die. But Prabhupada emphasized that pancha chordham vanam brajet, by the age of 50, one should retire from household life, not make it a permanent well to drown in. Pancha shortam vanam brajet. That means vanaprastha life. Vanam brajet. So, vanaprastha ashram is wanted. In the vanaprastha ashram, there's no sex. And one, just as in the beginning of the grihastha ashram, one is ratcheting everything up. One is building everything up. As a brahmachari or unmarried man, he had no capital, he had no house, he had no business, he had no business network, he had no this or that. But when he becomes a family man, then he needs capital, he needs a home, he needs money, he needs business or career, and he wants to advance in that career so that his position will be secure and he'll have sufficient income on a steady basis. He can expand. So that's how one embarks on his life. He goes to college, let's say, and then he gets placement somewhere, and then he's moving up. Now he's got 5 years experience, and he's so on. So he's building these things up, and then children and their education and so on. But as one builds up the household life, one should also wind down the household life. As one enters the grihastha ashram, one builds it up. And as one exits the grihastha ashram, one winds it down. Winds it down doesn't mean he winds down the business, everything, but he either winds it down or hands it over. If he has sons, he hands it over to his sons. If he has other nephews or successors, he hands the business over to them. So I know, for example, one of my godbrothers, I was visiting him from time to time. So he said, now I'm not going in. He said, I'm going in every day, but my son and daughter are also now in the business. Then I saw him again. He said, I'm only going in for 3 days. Because they're doing everything. And I show them something. I only go in for 3 days. Then it became 1 day. Then it became, sometimes I go in. Then it became, I don't go at all. Because he moved it out. He moved it out. So then his time was free for Hari Katha, for Hari Bhajan, for Krishna conscious activities. Not that his work wasn't Krishna conscious. It was Krishna conscious at a certain stage of his life. In the grihastha ashram, to perform one's work is also a prescribed duty for the service of Krishna. What is that? Svakarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. One becomes perfect by performing his prescribed duties. But then at the next stage, he shouldn't be there anymore. Just like to be in primary school. Very important to attend primary school, learn to read, learn mathematics, learn all of those things. But if I come back 20 years later and you're still in primary school, something's very wrong. it's meant for a particular time in a man's life. So the Grihastha Ashram also is meant for a particular time. While he's there, he should be attentive, engaged in those duties. And when the time is up, he should be moving out. Prabhupada gave the example that someone has a business, so at 5 o'clock the business closes. Those were his business hours, 9 to 5. So it might be that more customers would come at 6, at 7. But he doesn't say, well, I have to keep the doors open because maybe another customer will come. 5 o'clock, he closes the gate. Similarly, Panchashortam Panambhajaya. It may be that I could still get a little more happiness out of householder life. It may be that I could still improve the situation of the family. It could maybe that there's still this to do, still that to do. But now his job is, whatever it was, I did this much, I got this much out of it, I put this much into it, and now I have to go. Now I have to go. Brajate is imperative. It's not one may go, one must go. One should not stay in the family life forever. Prabhupada gave the example of Dhritarashtra as the attached householder, holding on to his family life, holding on to his kingdom. Prabhupada said previously, 5,000 years ago, there was one Dhritarashtra. He said, now there's a Dhritarashtra in every house. Holding on, holding on, holding on, insanely holding on. So fortunately, Dhritarashtra had a saintly brother, Vidura. And Vidura awakened Dhritarashtra to spiritual consciousness. And Dhritarashtra left home. And therefore he was able, despite his unfortunate political career, he was able to get free from material existence. Wasn't able to attain the highest perfection of devotional service, but at least he was able to get free from that entanglement. This is my kingdom, this is my this is my that. I'm now the royal uncle of of the king. He got free from that illusion. I'm not this body. I am not the king. And I have to leave this world, so better to go voluntarily. Everyone has to give up householder life. Either one gives up voluntarily, or one gives up kicking and screaming and being dragged out. But no one gets to stay. No one can say to the agent of death, my daughter is not yet married, and therefore I can't leave. My son has not yet completed his education, and therefore I can't leave. At a certain point, death comes. What is it? Death is stern in its arrest. It doesn't say, well, okay, I'll give you another day or minute. You go. This fell sergeant is stern in his arrest. Anyway, one has to go. So better to go voluntarily and get the benefit of detachment and spiritual progress. So Prabhupada was, practically in every book this comes up, that householder life is not forever. That is, one should perform the duties of a householder, and then one should retire from family life for the service of Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Maharaj, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Sorry, I'm taking a lot of your time. Maharaj, as you mentioned that Prabhupada had this expectation from us that we should retire at the age of 50. Yes.
We have not the best acoustics here, so you have to speak slowly. Prabhupada, what?
Prabhupada expected that we should, grastas should retire at the age of 50.
Expected that we should do what?
Grastas should retire at the age of 50.
Yes.
So the dilemma that we face, Maharaj, is that should we save some money now so that, we can actually, use that money after 50 to sustain, or as
not for your sake, it's not, okay. Prabhupada expected everyone to, grastas to retire at 50. Should we save some money now to sustain what?
To sustain, our life and our family after 50. Or, Maharaj, the dilemma is that...
No, you can. This is family management. It's expected. You should leave something to the family. I said earlier, Prabhupada said 50% I should give to the deities.
Yes.
Prabhupada or to Krishna. So 25% against family emergencies. So something should be, this is family life, we leave something for the wife, for the children, as far as possible. I may not be able to. Fortune may wipe out my earnings. Or I may not earn very much. If I want to leave something, then I have to spend less. I can't expect that if I'm leaving household life at 50, when I'm 49, a lot of money will come my way. So therefore, money has to be saved. How is money saved? By not being spent. On what Prabhupada called unnecessary necessities. Samsung Edge, Samsung 7 Edge, 1 lakh for a telephone. For a telephone, you're going to spend a lakh. When the same phone functionality you can get for less than 15,000 rupees. So, what's the other 85,000 rupees, it's unnecessary expenditure. If you spend it, then you'll have the satisfaction of having the latest Samsung glitzy phone. If you don't spend it, that can be toward the future security of your family members. So it's a simple thing. The less I spend, the more is there. But the materialist wants to spend everything. Anyway, not generally those who are thoughtful materialists, they save something. So one has to manage. Grahastha has to think, all right, this much I need to spend, this much I should put in investments or in... generally invest in some way or other for the future, because he knows that I'm going to leave. Generally, investment means there should be a house, there should be a place to stay. That's the first thing. If there's a place to stay, we'll manage the rest. We'll manage the rest. So a place to stay and whatever else you can do, if you can do that much. So that's not prohibited. That's not prohibited. After all, the family members expect something. So that should be seen to as far as possible. And especially their devotees, then we can look at it that way. But again, one shouldn't think, well, my goal was that this much should be there for my family. I haven't yet hit the goal. By now I'm 65, if I hang on another 5 years, no. Out. Whatever it is, that's what it is, and it's time to move on. And therefore one has to plan. Generally, the people start thinking about retiring from family life. They start thinking about it when they're 50. Or they start thinking about it when they're 60. You know, when they start feeling like they can't really go on anymore, then they start thinking about retiring. And therefore, it's very difficult to retire because they've got everything still in motion. I know some devotees, they're like getting married again at 45. Now, how are you going to retire from family life when you just started it 5 years ago? And, you know, you had, from that that wife, you had your first child at 46. So you want to retire at 50, but your child is 4 years old. So that's not sensible. Therefore, the life should be planned. That now I'm getting married, just like Kardamuni. I'll accept your daughter, and I'll live with her until the first son is there. And then I'm gone. So, not that one has to do that, but he had a plan. I'll stay this long, and then I'm going. Not, I promise I'll stay forever, and no. This long, and then gone. So one should think that if I'm going to leave householder life after it's only 25 years, if one gets married at 25, 50 means 25 years only. So within that time, he has to do everything. The children, the whole business, within 25 years. So he can't just be sort of accelerating the progenitive process as he's reaching 50. That should have been done a long time ago. Now he's, you know, the children are grown up, they're taking over. Not that I'm having children when I'm 45, when I'm what? 65, they might be old enough to perhaps take some responsibility. But if he does things more sensibly, by the time he's ready to retire at 50, they're ready to take over. Or from another point of view, to take care of themselves, however you want to look at it. But it's not that he has these crushing responsibilities that he's gotten himself into late in the game and feels he can't get out of. He should plan that so many years and then I'm gone. It's not a permanent engagement. Just like I've come here to Ras Bihari Mandir, I'm here for 3 days. And I know that after 3 days, my flight is there, I have to go. So if I spend those 3 days decorating my room, making programs to give class next week, or figuring out how I'm going to do something, establish something, get something, so that my position here will be secure, it's totally illusory because after 3 days I'm going to be gone. So I should focus on my business. If I'm here for 3 days, why am I here for 3 days? What am I supposed to do for those 3 days? Let me be completely absorbed in those duties and then go. Because then I have other duties someplace else. In this way we have to think. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your enlightening class. While answering the question in the beginning, you mentioned that Srila Prabhupada expects us to chant minimum 16 rounds.
Expects us to?
Chant minimum 16 rounds.
Prabhupada expected us to chant minimum 16 rounds, yes.
That means Prabhupada wants us to chant extra rounds also.
He wants us to chant extra rounds also, if possible.
So my question,
16 should be maintained. That's a must. At least 16. If you can do more, that's very good.
So my question is, Maharaj, how to develop that intense greed for the chanting Hare Krishna?
How to develop intense greed for chanting Hare Krishna? Chant those 16 rounds without offenses. Avoiding 10, Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, avoiding the 10 offenses. Every initiation, there's a lecture, what are the 10 offenses? Because avoiding those 10 offenses means quality in chanting. And by quality in chanting, one develops eagerness to chant, one develops attachment to the holy name, one develops Krishna consciousness. So at least 16 rounds, more is all right, more is good, and avoiding the 10 offenses.
So my practical difficulty is that, Maharaj, it becomes very difficult to avoid the 10 offenses.
It becomes very difficult to avoid the 10 offenses. Yes. Then?
So how to avoid those?
How?
How to avoid those 10 offenses?
How to avoid those 10 offenses? Systematically, by system, what is that? Vairagyena chagriyate? Abhyasena. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Padamam purusham divyam yati partamichante. Abhyas. Abhyas means practice. It's not, there's a, yes, by practice. So practice means that I know that I not only have to chant this number of rounds, but I have to chant attentively. I have to avoid the Namaparads, I have to avoid Vaishnavaparads, I have to avoid minimizing the importance of Vedic literature, I have to avoid performing sinful activities on the basis of chanting, I have to avoid thinking that the demigods and the Lord are on the same level. All of these 10 offenses, avoid neglecting the spiritual master's instructions. So all of these 10 offenses, we're committing so many. So while chanting, our practice means I'm trying to avoid. My determination is to avoid. And we know every day there will be offenses anyway. But because we're seriously trying to avoid, gradually it comes. If we're not serious about it, if we don't think, anyway, yum, 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 then the offenses will go on and on and on. Just like the term, like in America, we get snow in some of the parts of America. And then if you want to get in and out of your house, you have to take a shovel and remove the snow. And still it keeps snowing and you have to keep taking the shovel and removing the snow. But if you don't remove the snow, you'll never be able to go anywhere, do anything. If you remove it, some may still come back, but you'll be able to make it, and finally it stops snowing and you've got a clear path and so on. Or cleaning anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleaned the Gundicha temple. And first cleaning the big stuff, then cleaning the small stuff, then cleaning the still smaller stuff, and washing the whole place out, washing it again. Illustrating what we have to do to clean the heart.
So another difficulty I face is that I make a resolution to avoid the 10 offenses. I make a resolution to avoid the 10 offenses, but many times I fail.
When what?
I resolute not to commit 10 offenses.
I couldn't hear. Our acoustics are terrible. Go ahead.
I determine that I should avoid the 10 offenses.
You keep in mind that you have to avoid the 10 offenses.
But so many times I fail.
But
so many times,
yes,
I fail in that determination.
So many times you lose your determination.
Yeah.
You have to get it back again. That's all. By keeping to the association of devotees, by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the spiritual master, we have to keep up our strength and not give up. Not give up. If we give up, then sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's easier. But one has to stick with it. Just like across the wall, that gymkhana is there. And the people come every day. And I don't know what their regimen is, but they do 6 of these and 10 of those and 12 of these and 4 of that. And they're increasing their how many kgs they're lifting and all of that. I'm sure some days they really don't feel like coming. And some days they come, but they feel not very inspired about what they're doing. They just do it as a matter of, you know, keeping their target, but they don't feel like they're making progress. They don't feel enthusiastic. And other days they come in and they feel like they're really becoming Superman. But because they do it every day, gradually they develop those monstrous bodies with all those unnecessary muscles and, you know, whatever it is they're trying to do. Because they're steady at it. And that's just to develop this body. Just to look like, you know, to fill a t-shirt. So if they can do that for such a useless purpose, what can we do for going back to Godhead? Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.